The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Did you know that pain is deeper than all thought? And that laughter is higher than all pain? Albert Hubbard said that. Pain has an emotional component. It's not who we are, but can diminish what we want to do. Dr. Maggie Phillips, psychologist and co-author of the book Freedom from Pain, will tell us how to understand the components of pain and to not let it control us. What does it cost us when we don't manage our pain? You'll find out during the segment with Dr. Phillips. Dr. Joyce Hawkes, research scientist, was very traditional in her approach to scientific study. Then something happened to change all that. Find out what that was in the second half of the show. First up, Dr. Phillips.
Today we are fortunate to have with me Dr. Maggie Phillips, who is the co-author on the book Freedom from Pain. So thank you, Maggie, for being part of this interview today.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for having me.
I understand you've been doing a lot of interviews about this book lately, so it must be very popular.
Well, it's getting to be, you know, well known. It's only been out since May 1st, so really it's hot off the presses right now.
Well, pain is a big issue for many people.
Yes, it is.
And in this world, in such a fast-paced life, mm-hmm. we keep going beyond what we should, and so we pay the price.
Well, we do, and unfortunately, the world is not altogether a safe place. And so a lot of people have accidents, injuries, or encounter, you know, catastrophic events, and you know, it's just really, it gets harder, I think, to maintain your sense of balance.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you talk about in the introduction that the cost of unmanaged suffering is so high. I can understand about, you know, the loss of employment, mm-hmm. the healthcare cost, but what do you mean by that statement, the cost of unmanaged suffering is so high?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different statistics about pain, but one of them is that more people suffer from pain than cancer, diabetes, and heart disease combined,
mm-hmm.
which is a staggering statistic if you think about it. And one of the reasons why the cost of pain is so high is that it's so complex. So, you know, there are many different strands to pain. There's the emotional components. Mm-hmm. There are the sensations, the physical sensations. There's the neural transmission of pain pathways in the nervous system. There's spiritual dimensions as well, and genetics and individual experience and meaning, and go on and on and on. And so what we find a lot of times is that we can't solve it, you know, by focusing on any one of those areas. We need to find an approach that is comprehensive and yet flexible. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, a lot of people have been sent from doctor to doctor, treatment to treatment, and it costs an enormous amount of money sometimes just for the medications, let alone some of the other treatments like supplements and, you know, chiropractic or acupuncture, nutritional help. And psychological, know, attention. So it's just, it's really, really a staggering kind of proposition to try to resolve it.
And it's not one pain plus another injury equals two.
Uh-uh.
You add the one to the other, it could be a multiplier of 10.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's hard to know. I mean, we talk in our book a lot about connection with trauma that's held in the body. And this comes as a surprise to many people. They don't quite understand that. And we find even that doctors will talk about, you know, well, you have trauma, so you should go to a hospital that specializes in trauma. But then they don't really know or understand what it takes to heal from trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking at tissues or things that show up on tests or X-ray, you know, pictures or CAT scans or MRIs, and pain goes beyond that. It's more than that. And
yes.
We're saying the same thing here. So we have to look at several kinds of trauma. First, the kind of trauma that has contributed to or triggered the pain to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have to look at how long has this person been in pain. Because pain in and of itself, over a period of time, when it's unmanageable, becomes traumatizing.
Yes.
And then we have to look at trauma that has predated the pain condition that the person is struggling with. So, for example, I'm treating a man that has back pain. Actually, it's more than back pain. It's sciatic pain. It's pain of his SI joint. It's the whole left side of his body. It goes all the way down to his foot. And when he came to me, he was aware of it being a work injury. And he worked in an office, but he had a lot of back strain and so forth. And he thought that was the problem, and he got, you know, what is considered to be pretty decent treatment, and yet it didn't resolve. In fact, he got worse and worse and worse until he had to stop working altogether. And then he started the shuttle from, you know, doctor to doctor.
Sure.
And when I talked to him, I said, well, you know, the amount of pain that you're describing is really out of proportion to just having a back strain at work.
Mm-hmm.
What happened a few years before you were aware of the back pain?
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of questioning him, we found that he had a terrible bicycle accident that he didn't even think about being connected with his pain.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as soon as we started exploring that bike accident, all of his areas or centers of pain made sense in terms of why they were being triggered in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we know this, we're able to begin to release all of that trauma from the body, all those different kinds of trauma, and he's starting to get much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we also are concerned about people who might have very early trauma that gives them a very poor foundation for dealing with various type of stresses, including chronic pain, for example.
Especially if it was pre-verbal.
That's exactly right. Because then it's going to be held in the body as something they can't even really talk about. They can't share. They can't describe what's wrong or what they need. And so it goes untreated many times. And then it goes underground until it's reawakened by some later trauma that the person is old enough to identify and start working with.
Mm-hmm. And also, people can have the anniversary times of a past trauma. They feel like they've been re-injured because the body remembers.
That's right. The body does remember, even if the mind doesn't.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so when I've worked with clients, when we're coming up on anniversary dates, rather than highlighting, oh, yeah, this might happen, it's, okay, if something happens, remember, it might be a connection. We'll talk about it and talk through it rather than, you know, I've got to miss my appointment because I'm in so much agony.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, it's really, I think if you work with pain, whether you're a patient or you're a professional, you have to have a pretty, you know, broad net that you're casting to understand it, because there's so many pieces.
Right. Well, I have interstitial cystitis, the bladder disease.
Oh.
And I have chronic Lyme, and I've been a colon cancer patient. So, and fibromyalgia, and a number of other things. So I understand pain, and yet the attitude about having the pain can make all the difference in whether you can successfully manage it or get past it.
That's for sure.
And I think that the person has to be willing, like you're talking about, to look at all the aspects of the pain, not just the physical injury, but what does this pain mean to me?
Exactly. Yes. We talk in the book about how, you know, two people can have the exact same injury, and yet it will mean something totally different to them. So let's say somebody who's playing sports, and it's recreational sports, and gets a hand injury versus somebody who's a musician, and that hand represents, you know, their livelihood, their identity. Everything is wrapped up in that. And so we've found, of course, that people are going to have very different pain experiences based on what it means to them.
And having a person help you sort through that. A lot of times people are victimized and made to feel guilty because how come you can't get past this? If you had enough faith or if you follow the doctor's orders, you must not be doing something right. And that just exacerbates the pain, makes you feel worse and guilty. And so people tend to just not even go anywhere to get the help anymore.
That's right. That's right. I think that's really true. And of course, our culture has become so dependent on medications. You know, from doctors who, you know, really are, you know, held to task by pharmaceutical companies and their patients who want the, you know, instant relief. So that we focus a lot more on medication than we do on solving the underlying causes of the pain itself.
Yeah, because the medication just treats the symptom.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't really reverse or correct the problem, which is what Freedom of Pain for Pain is interested in. We want to help people really resolve the underlying problems that lead to it.
And I liked in the book how you described having the person go in slow motion, the body movements to connect with, you know, where does the pain begin, and how when they went slowly, there was the absence of it.
Yeah, that's right. There's a story in the book of Vince who is, and I'm not sure what you're thinking of, but that's one example. Vince came in because he had a frozen shoulder.
That's the one.
Which is a fairly common, you know, problem, but I mean, it's just really awful pain when you, when you have something like that. And he just couldn't, he tried several things and he just couldn't find, you know, anything that would help him. And in the process of exploring, as we encourage people to do, first we help them get relief. We teach them tools. And our CD that comes with our book has about 20 exercises. And then our Freedom from Pain audio program has about 25 to 30 exercises.
Okay. Maggie, how about we take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll elaborate on this more, okay?
All right, sure.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Learn about alternative health from a Christian perspective when you tune in to Harmonious Health with Tanisha Bowen. God's work can help you uncover and heal the root cause of illness, disease, as well as deeper emotional and physical issues. Our program takes a look at energy work and healing arts by speaking to the experts, but also looking at a spiritual side, with Tanisha helping you address the challenges that are keeping you from the best and blessed life. Harmonious Health can be heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. in the West, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're learning how to be free of pain. Let us return to Dr. Phillips' interview.
I'm back here with Dr. Maggie Phillips, and we're talking about her book, Freedom from Pain. And before we went on break, we were talking about what you have, the audio portion of your book as well. And we're talking about freedom from pain, what that concept means. So can you tell the listeners what you were saying about the audio, and then we'll explain what the freedom from pain is all about?
Sure thing. So we have three different versions, three different formats of Freedom from Pain. And one of them is a book, a paperback book that comes with a CD audio.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something you can listen to the guided practice exercises. It was very convenient that way.
And I listened to them, and it was good.
Oh, good.
It was helpful to me.
Great. That's a nice testimonial right there.
Yes.
And then we have, for some people who don't, some people in pain really can't focus in the way that they need to read a book,
right,
follow a book.
Yes.
So we have just an audio program that has about five short presentations on the principles that we use, some of the things we've talked about today about trauma and pain, and then we have about 20 practice exercises that they can listen to and work their way through the program. And then third, we have people that want portability. They want downloads that they can put on their iPod or their MP3 listening device. And so we also have that as well.
Okay. So these three different versions, they can get one or they can get all three or whatever appeals to them.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know we're going to cover this at the end of this interview, but tell them now, because sometimes they may not remember, so tell them twice. How did they get
that's
this?
That's a good idea. We have a special going on now that any of you listening can take advantage of, and that is that while we're launching our book, and it just came out May 1st, so it's really quite new, we are offering, in exchange for proof of purchase through Amazon, we're offering a series of like 12 quality bonus items, and you can choose one or two or several or all of them, whatever appeals to you.
Uh-huh.
And they range from mindfulness to anxiety reduction, stress, help with stress, and then we also have some other material on emotional pain, some book chapters and written material. So all you have to do is go to one of my websites, which is www.reversingchronicpain.com.
Okay.
And you'll see the announcement about the launch, and you just start clicking, and you'll get right to all the steps. It's very simple, really, to take advantage of this.
All right. So if they can't remember anything else, go to www.reversingpain.com, and that will connect them to what they need to do.
Right.
Because you know that when you're in pain, everything else gets interrupted.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Talk about fear, how that relates to pain.
Well, one of the interesting aspects of fear is that we can get in really entrenched in being afraid of pain itself.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very beginning of the book, we talk about there's a Native American, I think it is, koan about the pain being caused by two arrows. And the first one is what created the pain to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if you're shot by an arrow, that's easy to figure out. But the second arrow is our fear of what will happen, our fear that we'll never get better, our fear that, you know, we're going to feel that terrible feeling again and never be able to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when I work with people, I tell them that really and truly, when they have persistent pain or chronic pain that's lasted beyond the healing of whatever injury is related to it, then they're going to experience, and we're going to have to teach them how to deal with that second kind of pain.
Okay.
Which is their own fear. And so we have some guided exercises that are specifically for that, just mm-hmm. for dealing with the anxiety.
Okay, because when you're going to anticipate something, you brace yourself and you tighten your muscles, and it makes it worse.
That's right, Melanie, you got it. And yet, our bodies, you know, automatically do the bracing. It's
yes.
not something that we can stop mm-hmm. or even be aware of a lot of the times. And, you know, it's a protective mechanism,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's designed to help us survive.
Mm-hmm. And our breath has an effect on the pain, too.
Yes, exactly. So things that, you know, it's sort of like the good news and bad news, you know. The good news is that we have, you know, we have a system, a nervous system, that is designed to help us survive
mm-hmm.
Just about anything. And the not so good news is if we get stuck in it.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, we don't move through it. We don't complete whatever protective function is trying to happen. That's when we can drop into pain that we can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is to educate people through these simple practice exercises and some of the material in the book. We teach people how it's possible for them to get stuck at a body level
mm-hmm.
that they're not even aware of, and then it's related to the three basic responses to all kinds of threat, which are fight, flight, and freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And animals are able, by and large, especially when they're not in captivity, they're out in the wild, they can complete these responses. So, for example, if they're fast, they have speed, then they can run away. If
mm-hmm.
they're very ferocious and big and have sharp teeth and claws, they can fight back
right.
and destroy the threat that way. And if they can't do either one, like the poor possum, I say poor because it's pathetically slow and it has no equipment to protect itself. So it will go into this freeze state and it will stay there, and it fools the other animals. They think it's dead.
Right.
And they think it's been dead for a while, so they're not interested in it at all, and they'll just sniff it and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the possum will very slowly and gradually come out of that freeze state. But the point is, it comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, as human beings, we don't get to complete fight, flight, and freeze. And so we're stuck in one or all three of those types of responses in our body, and we don't even know it.
Hmm. Okay. So how we talk to our body can also have an effect on what our body does as well.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we teach people, we call the language of sensation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know body speak. We never learn it anywhere, you know. And so we teach people just how to, first of all, how to connect with their body experience
mm-hmm.
from a place of curiosity.
Okay.
And in a very manageable way, not overwhelming. So we take them through a series of exercises. Each one builds on what has gone before.
Uh-huh.
But it's progressively getting more and more complex. And then we teach people, you know, how to actually use those methods to begin to release the trauma that's stuck in the body in either the fight, flight, or freeze mode. And we're training people how to notice that and how to use the language of sensation so that they can really feel, experience what's going on the way the body does,
mm-hmm.
not the way their mind thinks it should be or is afraid it will be.
Mm-hmm. I liked in the book how you taught people to find a place on their body that didn't hurt so that
exactly.
they can compare the two.
That's right.
That was unique.
And it is unique, and I think, you know, in our very first exercise that are on all three versions of the program, is called re-inhabiting the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that a lot of people who've been in pain for any length of time have learned to disconnect from their bodies because
yes.
they don't want to feel the pain.
Yes.
And unfortunately, what happens, though, is they've cut themselves off from vital resources that would help them solve it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we teach them how to re-inhabit the body, we're taking them very slowly and gently into using just their breath
mm-hmm.
and their awareness of different locations in their body. And they visit, comfortable places first, or neutral places, and then they start visiting some of these uncomfortable places. But we do it in such a way that they're using their breath to develop a rhythm that is really the rhythm that is involved in their nervous system. And so what happens is it actually can, the intervention can get into the core or the roots of the pain problem and shift it just by, working with your breath to sort of gently shift and transform what's been happening in your body. And it's
okay.
really exciting.
All right. Unfortunately, we got to talk about the launch at this time because we're running out of time. So remind them how they can get your different forms of your book and audio.
Yeah. So we want you to order, of course, our book, Freedom from Pain. And it comes with a CD of the audio exercises that you'll enjoy. Or you can order a total audio program. There's no written material. There's just the series of about 25 practice exercises on CD.
Okay.
And you can also get the audio as an MP3.
Okay.
And as a thank you gift, if you go to my website, you will also be able to select from 12 high-quality bonus items that you can enjoy. So it's reversingchronicpain.com. It's a really good deal, I think. Of course, I'm biased, but I think you would be happy with the package you end up with.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Maggie. This has been very helpful, and I hope all the people out there in pain will order these materials.
Well, thank you, Melanie. Thanks for having me.
All
right. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you looking for a 21st century first aid kit? You don't have to suffer nor take on the increasing expense of healthcare. Tune in to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health. Your host, Lynn Waldrop, will show you how many common and even uncommon aches, pains, and ills can be remedied through sound, color, and light. While it may sound like these are new concepts, believe it or not, these are actually ancient methods that still make sense today. Create a healthy life. Listen Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Dr. Joyce Hawks never imagined herself as a healer until something literally hit her on the head one day. Was it divine intervention? You listen and decide. I am privileged today to have Dr. Joyce Hawks with me, and we're talking about what she used to do, what she does now, and why there's been that change. So welcome.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
Well, you've done a lot of interviews, so I think that there's a divine intervention that must have happened in your life to change your direction. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, it certainly seems that way because the direction of my life was so totally, dramatically, and differently changed.
Mm-hmm. And that was because of a near-death experience, correct?
It was indeed, and that was in the long time ago, late 70s,
very
end of that decade. Before much was known about NDEs, I had never heard of them. I had never read a book about them and would have had zero interest at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was a scientist, had finished my doctorate in biophysics, had completed my postdoctoral fellowship with the National Institutes of Health, and was now running a beautiful brand new lab in Seattle, Washington, having had the great pleasure of being handed enough invoices and ability to buy brand new electron microscopes and set up a whole electron microscope lab for National Marine Fisheries. Had a joint appointment on the faculty at the University of Washington as adjunct. So it was a very interesting and busy time for me, and I had no interest in spirituality. In fact, I was an atheist, and I was cleaning house, and a decorative leaded glass window that was on the mantel above my fireplace, for zero reason at all, I did not bump the mantel, vaulted off and smacked me on the head. And as I crumbled down, feeling my body go, whoa, all of a sudden, my experience is moving incredibly fast down a long, dark tunnel drawn to light at the end. I had no anticipation of or had ever heard of. At the entrance of the light, my mother and grandmother greeted me. They had been dead for some years. I had no belief in an afterlife. I missed them terribly because I was very close to both. And they could communicate their caring and love and joy and peacefulness and delight in where they were, which would be worth the whole experience if it just ended there.
Right.
But then I passed into a beautiful field with colors of gorgeous color from the grass, from the flowers, from the sky. And was there a long time, no one else around, but again, infused with a sense of the most exquisite emotions humans love and gravitate towards, the sense of peace, of joy, of everything being quite okay.
And was your scientific mind trying to understand all this while it was going on, or was that not important?
You know, it wasn't. There was no kind of mind activity. The experience was so all-encompassing and so strong that I don't remember actually thinking, oh my goodness, what's happening? Where am I? What's it? None of that. There was no fear. It was just each moment perfect in and of itself.
Yes.
And that was very different for me. You know, I lived by my brain, and so my brain wasn't doing much for me in this place, other than being quiet, thank goodness. You know, then all of a sudden I'm somewhere else and in the presence of a being of light. And that intensity of that experience, I will never forget, let alone all the other parts of this. That was, again, being infused with belonging, union, oneness, blessing, joy. And I did not have much of a discussion about coming back or not. I didn't have a formal life review, as many near-death experiencers do. I did have the clear knowledge that everything is known, there are no secrets. And so I came back with, don't waste time on that stuff.
Right.
And then bingo, I'm back in my body, crumbled on the floor, and I put my hand to my head, which is very sore. And there's a big mat of dried blood all over the top of the good size cut on my head. So I wasn't out a minute or 2 minutes. I was out, we figure, at best, at least an hour, perhaps an hour and a half, for the bleeding to happen and then for it to clot. So I was over there a long time, and I've always figured it took a long time for them to either rewire me or figure out what the heck they were going to do with me. Like, all right, not here now, goodbye.
Uh-huh. And was there a sense when you came back of regret that you didn't want to be back?
No, there was just wonder at all of this.
Okay.
Because it was so astonishingly new and totally different of anything I'd ever heard about or had any knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much just went, well, okay, that's what happens if you have a crack on the head and perhaps low oxygen for a few minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much disregarded it, but I could not escape the sense of those emotions, that direct experience of union, of peace, of joy, of just, you know, English words or words in our language cannot grasp what that experience was like.
Yes. Yeah, I've had two near-death experiences, so yes, I can relate. Yes. Yes. There just aren't any words. And when you come back, everything just is so different. Your perception is different. You aren't worried about the everyday things. There's just a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the sense that when you went there, you had been there before?
Interesting question. No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. That's very interesting, though, because it was reflecting back on it, seemed very new.
And for me, when I went there, I said, do I get to stay this time? And they said no. And I was so mad because I had to come back.
Yeah.
And when you come back, like I said, everything's so different. It's
so different.
And you don't have words to explain it.
Right.
Well, did your colleagues think that the bump on the head changed your thinking and that, you know, it was the bump on the head that you were not all right?
Well, you know, I was still running the lab. The lab was going very well. We were publishing 3 to 4 top-notch scientific papers every year. I was traveling, and I didn't really talk about it. I did finally go to a doctor, and I had to be flat on my back for some weeks, and so I was off for a while, out of the lab. But I didn't talk about it at work. By the time, you know, I recovered and could be back fully running around Green Lake and Seattle or doing whatever I did, it was a very quiet experience for me until I bumped into the International Society for Near-Death Studies, which had a very active chapter in Seattle. And I went, whoa, other people have experienced this and know about it. And then Ray Moody's first book was out.
Right.
And I found that in a bookstore and just stood there absolutely mesmerized reading case history after case history that had similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things in the lab that I had said for years was, if it's real, it's repeatable, let's do that experiment again, find out if our data is true. And I had to eat my own words. I couldn't disregard that so many people had this experience and had actually similar elements to it, even though none of them were all exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So nothing changed as far as career right away. It took me almost 7 years of reading everything I could get my hands on, talking to people, continuing to run the lab. And then I met a healer and took some classes and as I would work with people in the class, people were responding to what they felt, and then people wanted to come and see me. So I set a room in my home, and on weekends and evenings I was working with individuals, and so this incredible double life was happening. Plus I was married at the time, partnered at the time, and I had been told in my first marriage that I was infertile, and all of a sudden I'm pregnant, and
wow,
bingo, I birthed this beautiful daughter, who was just an incredible surprise. And so there's a whole lot of life going on. At the same time, the exploration of, well, what might this all mean? And I never wanted to leave the lab. I loved my life being
a
scientist.
Let's take a break right now and come back and talk about that acceptance of that change. Okay?
Will do.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope. Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Dr. Joyce Hawks has learned much helping other people. She still uses her education and training, but in a different way from when she worked in the laboratory. Find out how she does it.
We're back here now with Dr. Joyce Hawks. We're talking about how her life changed from being a biophysicist and cell biologist, and how it changed from a near-death experience. So before the break, Joyce, you were talking about your daughter that was a miracle that was born. So tell us some more.
Well, she was such a surprise, and I must say, right after she was born, I was amazed that my motherhood clicked in, because truly I hadn't been around small children, and I wasn't quite sure which end to put the diaper on, frankly.
Uh-huh.
It was an amazing time, and she's a wonderful young woman now, very successful in her life and happily married, so I'm grateful. And her being in my life was one of the great teachings. You know, looking back on that, those years, she's been one of my most amazing teachers.
Hmm.
But back to changing careers. So here I have the lab I'm running. I'm taking classes in healing, reading all the books I can find, and raising a little girl and cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm.
All those amazing things. I had no desire to leave the lab, but I had a very clear and distinct visionary calling
to healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I resigned my position the next business day.
Oh, my.
It was as strong and intense as the near-death experience itself, and close to 7 years after the NDE.
Mm.
So there wasn't an immediate, quick transition for me, as there is for some people, even though my life had truly changed after the near-death experience. So I jumped off into doing private sessions for people, and then had some what I call nudges, and had opportunity to go to the Philippines with my daughter, actually, and studied with a pain healer for 2 months.
Mm.
Came back, got a chance to go to India, spent a month looking, get people's stories. How is healing your tradition? What is it work? What is your experience? Came back, kind of integrated that, and then had an opportunity to go to the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a master healer there who I worked with for 10 years, going back and forth from Seattle to Valley to work couple times a year. So I was by the traditions from other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Native American. Never really connected deeply with the healing tradition culture, although I certainly have by, quote, medicine from that tradition. The learning of how to do the healing work, which now is almost 30 years of work.
Mm, that's a long time.
The lab in 1984. The learning was shaped by so many things, by reading, by hearing people talk, by taking workshops, but deeply by working very intensely with healers in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And by direct guidance. A lot of what I do is listening, stopping to listen. What is the guidance of the person I'm working with? What's their guidance showing me, and what's my guidance showing? So the work goes very deeply, but it touches cells.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, partly is any deep focused work that touches the body is going to touch the cells. But I had pretty much dumped my cell biology after I left the lab, and I was kind of crabby for a while going, so why did I go through all this study and writing papers and rah, 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 if I was truly destined, perhaps, to do this work?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Bali, my teacher there would go into trance and describe what she saw in the people who had come to her for healing. She had never read a book on cell biology. She had no knowledge of the 100 trillion cells inside of one human body. But she would describe what she saw, and she described cells. It was so clear.
Mm.
So I thought perhaps my my calling in my culture here in the Western world in the 21st century is to bring the two together. So that's been a lot of what I've done in my teaching, in my two books, and in the private practice is help people find a way to bring their spiritual connection linked to the physical body to support both health in a very physical sense at a cellular level and their sense of living fully, of finding well-being within themselves and in that connection.
Hmm. That's all interesting. How do you know what to do? What guides you to know how to do the healing with someone or to facilitate the healing?
Two things. You know, I take a pretty decent history.
Mm-hmm.
And that clues me to where the focus point is for most people. And then I get really quiet after we do the history. People have them stretch out on a treatment table, or if we're working by phone, we hang up. And then I go into a very deep state, and I ask, so show me, guide me, what is underneath the symptoms? Where is the key place to be working? you know, some of it, I'm verbalizing it, it's not always so verbal, but it's a moment or moments of stillness, of stopping, of waiting for guidance, and then proceeding.
Okay.
And sometimes with people, it's building a foundation. I mean, there are times when it will take a couple sessions before it feels like there is a foundation of enough health, enough vitality in the body to be able to move forward with the healing. And sometimes it's much shorter. I never can predict because I don't know how a person's body will actually respond to the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know with Dr. Emoto's work with water, you know, water is changed by the way you talk to it. And, of course, our bodies are made up majorly of water. So when the healing starts to take place, what happens in the cells of the body? How do you know there is a change happening?
There's a lot of change happening, and it's not just in the water. Water is sequestered in cells. There are four major functions inside of the cell. One is the power pack of the cell, which is a whole group of enzymes located in a part called the mitochondria. Many times that's a point of focus in the work. Then there's the action part of the cell, the endoplasmic reticulum that makes all the enzymes and all the structural proteins. There's DNA in the cell, which is the information source for the cell, which can be changed genetically. It can be changed epigenetically by outside influences. And so there's a whole complexity around what is expressed and coded for through the action part of the cell supplied by the power pack of the cell. And then the surface of the cell, cell membrane, is an amazing communicator. If you culture cells, they put out not just little bumps, but ultra-small projections called nanotubes, 10 to the minus 9th meters, that ultra-small, and they touch each other. So there is a natural pattern within all of our cells to be in touch with each other. Our cells don't float around inside of us. They are deeply connected in our tissues. Our blood cells float around through our blood as it's squished through the system of arteries and then back through the veins. But most of the cells of our body are deeply connected with each other, touching each other.
Hmm.
So how does it work? What is the focus? It goes deep to the cell level, and it's hard to describe, Melanie, because it's not like tinkering with one little cell part and another little cell part, nor is it just an overall intention, oh, be well. There's this level in the middle where what we're spending as healing energy actually touches the cell, and the evidence for that is, I'll give you some of that. Histories.
Well, the unfortunate part is we only have about a minute left, and
it goes by fast.
So let's just tell the audience, how can they get in touch with you? Where's your website? Something that they can find out more, because this is just a tip of the iceberg of what's out there working with you. So how do they get a hold of you?
Thanks. My website is celllevelhealing.com. Lots of information on the site about how to reach me. I will be teaching at Omega Institute, a 5-day intensive in August. Invite people to come to that. It's the most detailed teaching of the year. You'll also see on the website all the places where I am out teaching, giving presentations on the West Coast as well as East Coast. I am swamped by clients right now. I am booked fully into 2013. So I encourage people on the website to please come to something where we're teaching or read a book. I have two books out, Cell Level Healing, The Bridge from Soul to Cell, and Resonance, 9 Practices for Harmonious Health and Vitality.
Wow. Well, this is wonderful. And Joyce, thank you so much. And we'll just have to have you come back at another time and talk some more, because we just didn't get to very much at all. So
Well, thank you. It was a delight to work with you. I really appreciate the time.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll have you come back.
Oh, thanks. I'll look forward to it.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Now it's time to wrap up today's show. Dr. Maggie Phillips, who taught us how we could get freed from pain, you can reach her at either reversingchronicpain.com, or you can go to her website, maggiephillipsphd.com. And Dr. Joyce Hawks, she can be reached at celllevelhealing.com. And wasn't it interesting that she went from being an atheist to being a spiritual healer? Miracles abound. Next week, we're going to look once again at the possible connection between Lyme disease and interstitial cystitis. Please sign up for my newsletter and comment on the different shows you like and write on my blog to let me know what you want to hear more about. Next week, we're going to talk to the people from the Lyme Research Alliance and Ruth Kriz, who will talk about this possible connection between Lyme disease and interstitial cystitis. So remember, if you want to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.